it would be to help change the way children, parents, to ultimately potentially change the thinking of some people to more of a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to a fixed mindset, so they can kind of realize, you know, the possibilities out there, you know, for children to believe in themselves and realize that, listen, failure is part of the process. It's about hard work. It's about, you know, perseverance for all adults, you know, teachers and everyone else who don't operate that way, to have the mindset that through their efforts, you know, that they can really help, you know, children be great.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Dr. Mitt Foley. Mitt is the assistant superintendent at Saginaw Public Schools in Saginaw, Michigan. Mitt, it's so great to have you here today.
Thank you, Janet. Excited to be here.
So tell me, what is going on in Saginaw at Saginaw Public?
Oh, gosh. Wow, we have a lot going on. And I'm actually excited to kind of brag about a lot of stuff. Some of the initiatives and things that we have happening here. So I am the Assistant Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction.
Okay.
For our secondary division, and that serves grades 6 through 9. About 6,000 students or so. And so
awesome.
A large part of my work is on the curriculum development, instructional improvement, program expansion at our middle and high schools, and really making sure students, most who come from traditionally underserved backgrounds, making sure that they have full access to rigorous coursework, support, and just opportunities to really make sure that they can be prepared for college or career. And so that is a lot of our work. And so some of the things we have going on, we've been doing a lot of work. We passed a couple years ago, $100 million bond.
And so
we're coming to the end of a lot of our projects that has completely transformed our programming here. One of the things we did, which is very challenging for those in education, they will know that closing schools, how challenging that could be. And so we actually had merged two historic programs, Saginaw High School and Saginaw Arthur Hill High School. And we merged those and we built a brand new state-of-the-art five-story, $100 million high school, which is called Saginaw United. And then we took the old Arthur Hill building and completely renovated it. And we moved our gifted and talented 6 through 12 program into that building, and it is just absolutely phenomenal. And on that same campus, we built a new elementary school, which is called Hanley, and that's our K through 5 gifted and talented. So we have, I think, probably one of the only gifted and talented campuses in the state. It's just phenomenal, and so we've done a lot of working with the curriculum to make sure. And these are some of the highest rated. I think the Saginaw Arts and Science Academy is rated fourth in the state.
Nice.
Hanley is somewhere around there as well. So these are just some amazing programs. Some other things we've been able to really expand our career and technical, our CTE programming. We have a program here in the Saginaw Public Schools that is actually a countywide program. We opened it up for the account for the entire county, and we have programs that we started with. There were about 15 CTE programs serving about 400 students. Today, we have expanded that to 23 programs, have over 1,000 students enrolled.
Wow!
I mean, programs like automotive technology, engineering, and advanced manufacturing, welding. These students earn certifications, and they go right into the work field. And so this program has really, really expanded. I mean, we added HVAC. I mean, there are so many programs.
Wow.
There, animal science, so on and so forth. And so a lot of work has been really around expanding programs. Some things I'm really excited about is how we've just been able to innovate programming. And I'll be honest, I have a superintendent that has a great vision and allows us and empowers us to do a lot of the work and remove barriers. And we have a really good supportive school board that really supports it. So we've been able to really innovate programs. That's adding international baccalaureate programs. We went from our two high schools that had no AP classes. We have roughly around 15 advanced placement courses now. We built a strong relationship with. I was able to work with our community college, and we implemented a dual enrollment opportunities. And so we created these cohorts. We call it the Saginaw Academy of Excellence. And over the last 3 years, we've had roughly, I want to say about 90 students so far have graduated. So we put the students in a cohort starting in the 11th grade. When they graduate with 32 or 33 credits.
Wow.
This saves them upwards of almost $20,000. These are all transferable credits.
Nice.
And students, when they go to college, they are, sophomores, juniors.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really expanded our dual enrollment. So that's with the community college. We have another partnership with the local university, Saginaw Valley State University, and we have professors housed at one of our schools, the Saginaw Arts and Science Academy, and they teach college courses there. And when students leave that program, they leave with about 13 credits. So right now, the students are in chemistry, and the professor, he's a well-known professor. These are just phenomenal opportunities for kids. And then there's a communication class. We partner with a program called the Equity Lab, and we really just remove barriers, giving kids the opportunity who are just passionate and exciting. So we remove these gatekeeping barriers like, GPA requirements or test scores. And so with this Equity Lab, we have students who are taking courses from Stanford. These are with their professors at Stanford, Morehouse, Howard, Wesleyan.
Wow.
And taking courses like social problems, introduction to sociology. There's an intro to engineering class and a bioengineering class that students will take. And so that's at both of our high schools, and we have roughly 25 students each in those courses. And so this is really about showing students that they belong in those spaces.
Yeah.
And, seeing themselves learning just top tier universities with professors, and that they're just as capable. Now, these are kids who are, many consider at promise students. These students have a lot of, challenges, the impacts of poverty and things of that nature. And so what we want to do is just remove barriers to entry into those types of programs.
Because you guys are considered, considered urban school, correct? I mean,
school district. Yeah. I would say probably about 84% of our kids will qualify for free or reduced lunch.
84%. Yeah. What you're doing for them. That's incredible.
And let me mention, there is at least in Michigan, there is a nationwide, teacher shortage. Attracting teachers, especially to urban school districts like Saginaw, is tough. We have increased the pay. We're one of the highest paying. We are the highest paying district in at least in the county here, but it's still a challenge. And so one of the things I've been able to do, I'm just really excited, is I partnered with a company and I brought about 30 international teachers here. And so we've been able to significantly expand programming for kids. I mean, I got teachers here from China. So now we're offering Chinese at our two high schools. I got teachers from Kenya, Ghana, the Philippines. We were struggling to find Spanish teachers. I have teachers from Colombia teaching Spanish, and they bring with them their culture and all of that stuff is just absolutely phenomenal. Cameroon. And so we've been able to offer courses. We had struggled to find teachers for. Now we have computer science. These individuals have doctorate degrees. They have PhDs. They are so dynamic. and so exciting. And so it's a lot of work because I make their housing arrangements and get them off from the airport and I set their apartments up and and really transport them to and from their school to the apartment where we set them up. And we actually purchase some vans. And so when they need to go grocery shopping and stuff, we help take care of that. But it has really allowed us to fill those critical roles in math, science, STEM, world languages. And it's really just kind of enriched and brought a level of diversity and different perspectives to our classroom. So
are you seeing an increase then in graduation rates as well?
When I was principal, this was some years ago. This, by the way, is my 28th year. But I served, I was a teacher. I've been a middle school
all
principal.
All at Saginaw?
High school principal. And my specialty, where I've been really successful at is turning lower performing schools around, took over a middle school and turned it from a low performing school to an international baccalaureate school.
Nice.
The high school I took over, graduation rate was 78%. When I left that school, 95% graduation.
Nice.
When I got there, kids had earned, I think, roughly around $800,000 in scholarships. When I left, it was around $19 million in scholarships. And so just then, our graduation rates have been steady, around 94%, 95%. And so what we do, Jenna, is we really provide a lot of wraparound support for students who need that. We have credit recovery programs, and we really stay on kids to make sure that they get across the finish line. So we really push
and beyond the finish. I mean, you're talking about beyond the finish line. I love that.
And engaging programs, kids want to come to school.
Yeah.
We've seen is, we have challenges with attendance and things like other districts since the pandemic, but really engaging programming and really inspires kids, and we find something for everybody so they can stay connected. And so,
standing in front of the room on a chalkboard with 30 kids and expecting them to listen is not the way education can be done anymore.
No,
you really have to get them engaged, and it sounds like it sounds great. And I love too. I want to go back to something you said before. You said you opened it up to the county, so your career and technical stuff isn't just helping Saginaw Public Schools, but you're helping other schools in the county as well.
It is a countywide program, and the county passed a millage that supports the program, so those other schools are able to send their students there at no cost. The millage pays for their transportation. It pays for the FTE, so there is no cost to the other districts. I think that was maybe a 6-year. Piece, but it's really helped expand the programming there. The technology they have, everything is completely up to date. It is an amazing, absolutely amazing facility.
One thing I often hear from school leaders is, I just want a partner who puts students first. At Lighthouse Therapy, that's exactly what we do. We don't have outside investors and we don't answer to shareholders. Instead, we answer to school leaders like you, those listening to this podcast. Whether you're wanting virtual, hybrid, or in-person therapy, our systems are designed to make your life easier and your team stronger. We are a therapy company run by therapists for therapists for the betterment of students. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn how we can help you support your students this year.
It sounds like it. So, and you have them from the littles too. You've done things for the little kids too. I love that. So, amazing. You guys are, I'm so impressed. I lived in Michigan for 19 years and, you have a lot of factories. Saginaw is known for, auto industry, right?
Well, here's the thing. And this is the challenge. In Saginaw, the the decline of the manufacturing base here in St. Louis is what it has really contributed to the poverty levels that St. Louis has.
Mm-hmm.
Those jobs just don't exist anymore.
Okay.
GM and other factories moved out, you know.
Left all these people with no money.
It's been hard to replace them. And it has created, you know, I mean, for years, I mean, the poverty rate, the community violence, you know, there are a lot of challenges in Second Island. And a lot of it is because, you know, there are just fewer jobs for individuals. And that's why we're really excited for the work that we do. It is, you know, not only helping students, you know, reach their full potential, but we really see ourselves as like a driving force in the whole community. Like,
Improving educational
outcomes, you know, helping to strengthen neighborhoods and families, and just create, you know, contribute to the overall revitalization of the city. We really enjoy the work that we do, and we can, our impact will be, you know, we have a major, you know,
generational.
Changing lives and changing, you know, outcomes for the entire community.
Breaking barriers, giving opportunities, showing kids that they matter, helping them to enjoy coming to school. But not only that, but, you know, there's always the saying is if you do what you love, you'll never work another day in your life, you know.
Absolutely.
And showing them that they can do that, that they have there are opportunities out there in their skills, in their area of interest. And that is so incredible. Did you have to increase like your counselors to be able to like know where to put these kids? How did you handle that side of it?
We do. We have school counselors in all of our secondary buildings. Certain are United, for example, has 4 counselors, but we've also added college access coordinators. So we actually have 2, and they do a lot of work with students. We have so many college fairs and supporting students with FAFSA and just that whole process. We do a lot of field trips. We have deans in our school. We have a robust like mentoring program. And so we give kids the opportunity not only visit colleges and universities and in Michigan, but we take students outside of the state. I mean, we give them just a lot of opportunities to expose them, because if many of our kids have not been outside of Saginaw, you know, unless we give them those experiences.
Right.
And opportunity.
Yeah.
We have just a tremendous amount of support. Even for truancy, you know, last year we hired 2 additional truancy officers. We actually bought 2 new SUVs, and these are nice SUVs where they drive around, pick kids up, parent engagement specialist, that does a lot of work, puts on a lot of community programs, working with our parents. We've done things during that hasn't, for example, used to be very few clubs and activities. And so I, you know, met with the superintendent and said, look, we need to change this. Can we compensate teachers for their time to sponsor clubs and activities? He's like, absolutely. And so now there are like 40 different clubs, you know, from robotics to, I mean, you name it, foreign language club, debate. I mean, all kinds of stuff where kids can get involved and stay connected. And so, you know, just really excited. But we do have, you know, very good counseling team, and just that the whole support of social workers in our buildings. We have academic interventionists and behavior specialists really providing kids. And let me tell you, at Saginaw United and at SASA, we've had for years, we got a school-based health clinic. So you can walk in there. It is a full... It's like a little mini hospital. It's absolutely amazing. Like you see, physicals, all kinds, you name it, that you can get at any clinic. And it is so nice. And so we've had
A
number of years, which really gives kids the opportunity to get additional support and deal with kind of health stuff on me. It was helpful. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Yep.
Yeah. Keep them healthy so that they can make it to school. Keep them fed. Keep them loved on. Yeah. You have to have all of those basic needs met before you can even start learning, right?
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Sounds like you guys have it all covered. I love that. I love that.
I'm going to make a bad plug here.
Okay.
Because the things I'm talking about has actually inspired me to put my experiences into writing. So I do actually have a book coming out soon.
Oh, neat. No, plug yourself away, buddy. Yeah, I love
that.
Yeah,
it's being published by Rutledge Taylor and the Francis Group. And the title is Transforming Urban Schools for Educational Excellence, a Guide to Moving Vision from Victory. And it really reflects my 30 years of the experiences. I mean, it's a guide for educators, for administrators, policymakers, for parents, you know, to see real systemic change in urban schools and the things that you can do to really kind of make that happen. And it was really to just put some strategies in there, just kind of grounded in resilience and equity, high expectations for districts where they can, you know, not only, you know, imagine, you know, what is possible, but they can actually do
implement
some very simple things to implement. Yeah. So,
yeah. Implementation. Yeah. So is the book available now?
It is not. They are working on it now. And so I was initially thinking in my head, I'm going to ask Janice, when that book comes out, I want to come back on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, it is not out yet, but they are working on it.
If it's out before, so today is September 11th, 2025. We'll be probably publishing this one probably November 11th. So if in those 2 months it does get published, then we will definitely put a link to that in the description of the podcast. But absolutely, when it's out and you're ready to talk about it, we will plug you away. We will absolutely plug you away. Yeah. It's important. You know, it's like, because I say this almost every time now. It's like, we're brighter together. I mean, the reason that it's called Brighter Together is because we are. And the knowledge that you have and that you bring to the table, and somebody else is in an urban school who's like, we've got so many problems. How do we fix them? Where do I begin? You know, this is exactly the kind of playbook that they need, and something that will help. So anything that will anything that will help one district to another district to another district, and this podcast does that, then we've won. We have absolutely won. And that matters.
I love that. I'll put it together. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And you guys are winning. You're winning for your kids. I had a gentleman I interviewed earlier today, same thing down here in Texas. And they've done the same thing, their career and technical, and they're 80% poverty. Again, same thing. And La Mesa, Texas, I was talking to him. Great guy. And just, you know, so many amazing people that are doing amazing things, just like what you've done. And I knew Saginaw had a hard time, but, you know, I never lived there. So I had no idea how incredibly high the poverty had gotten. So that's amazing. That's truly amazing. So one last question for you. If you could miraculously fix one thing in your world of education that you're doing, and it can't be money, what would it be?
God, if I could say one thing.
Only one. You only get one. But just, you know, it's not there anymore. It's miraculously, God's taking care of it, and you never have to worry about it again. What would it be?
Oh my gosh, you really caught me off guard with this one.
Sorry.
No. That is a good one. If there's one thing that I can change, okay. So if I could change anything, it would be to help change the way children, parents, to ultimately potentially change the thinking of some people to more of a growth mindset, as opposed to a fixed mindset, so they can kind of realize, you know, the possibilities out there, you know, for children to believe in themselves and realize that, listen, failure is part of the process. You know, it's about hard work. It's about, you know, perseverance for all adults, you know, teachers and everyone else who don't operate that way, to have the mindset that through their efforts, you know, that they can really help, you know, children, and be great for parents to have those same types of thoughts, you know,
yeah,
operate from more of a, you know, the type of conversations that they have, you know, with your children to help develop that type of thinking. It's stuff that I do have done with my own children, you know, trying to make sure that they, you know, to talk to them in a way that helps kind of develop, you know, more of a growth mindset. You know, so, you know, for example, my son, my youngest son, who's really doing well, he's a senior right now in high school.
You don't look old enough to have a senior in high school.
Hey, I got a junior. I got a junior at Michigan State.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, he's a human bio major, wants to be an orthopedic surgeon. So
very cool.
Yeah, and I've been married for 22 years. If my wife hears this, and that's why I'm in, it's 23, I want to hear it.
That's okay.
But, you know, just really getting people to have more of a, I don't know, more of a growth mindset. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. They know that they're, the possibilities are there. There's there's opportunities that can be had. We live in the greatest country on earth. We do. We absolutely do. And, you know, we're all reeling from the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And that loss yesterday, it was yesterday, just yesterday, has just been devastating. But we still live in a country where everybody has a voice and everybody needs to be heard. And these kids need to know that they are loved and that there are opportunities out there. And that I didn't even mean to bring him up, but it's just been such a huge part of what's happening in the news right now. And to have opportunity.
I'm actually glad you brought it up, Janet, because I would actually change what I said and say, you know what, if I had a chance, one thing, it would be that everybody just
come together
with kindness. Like,
yes,
with my son, as soon as I walked in the house, my son told me that, absolutely horrible.
Yeah,
I was numb. Mm-hmm. That we live in a country where that happens. I just never imagined that my kids would be growing up like these kind of challenges. And so, you know, people just need to be just respectful of other people. Should be able to just have conversations and we don't agree. Like, that's okay. Like, it's okay. My wife and I don't agree on everything. Like, but we still, you still respect folks. Is the that level of violence. I pray for his family. And
me too.
That is just, as a parent, just absolutely horrible. And hopefully, you know, we can just help our kids go out and just make the world, as you're thinking, like, a brighter place, you know, brighter together.
And brighter together.
Appreciate it. Love are, you know, we're all unique and have differences. And that is part of the human experience. And
that was definitely the legacy that Charlie left behind, was a legacy of, let's just have a great conversation. Let's talk about the differences, right? He was such a good man, and it is heartbreaking. And, you know, I really was just so sad. We actually have our flag at half staff at home, just because it's important. People, you know, people realize that's not okay, you know, and he embraced people that had differences of opinion, you know, and we all want, and that's, it's funny because I was like, yesterday I found out, like, I don't know, 3 minutes before I was supposed to do a podcast, and I talked to the gentleman I was interviewing beforehand, and he's like, do you want to postpone? And I said, oh no, I am not gonna let this madman affect what we're doing here, because it matters. Brighter Together matters. Everything, every time that we get on the air and talk about the beautiful things that Saginaw is doing, that things that are happening in Texas, things that are happening all over the United States, you guys are fighting the fight. We are fighting this fight every single day. And I love the fact that you want people to see it, to know that you have value. I don't care where you are. I don't care what background you come from. you are loved. There are people there that care about you and want you in education to be successful. And so we're fighting this fight, and we're going to continue because Saginaw matters, because, you know, everybody at that university in Utah, you all matter. It Charlie matters. His kids matter. His wife matters. My family matters. I'm just prayerful that we come together as a country and recognize that no matter our differences, that we are members of the United States of America, and we have this beautiful opportunity here.
We do. Absolutely. And it is okay. I mean, that's what makes this country so special. We're all just different. We all have different opinions. I mean, but the value system in this country is not that level of, like you said, I am so sorry for his family and, you know, everybody who had, yesterday, when my son told me, I just walked around the house the whole time. I'm like, I can't believe this. This is unbelievable. Like, I was so shocked. I'm like, even now at this side, when you mention that, like, the hair on my arms just stick up. It's that absolutely just horrible, horrible. Yeah, and I pray for his country. This is, it is a great place. Let me tell you, these international teachers that are here, I know you want to get rated in this, but.
That's okay.
They have come over here. They are so appreciative of this country. Like, they are like, this is so amazing. Like, they can't believe how, you know, walking into Walmart and how huge it is.
Yeah.
The technology, the cars, are like, we had one arrived just yesterday from Namibia. First one from Namibia. And then she just couldn't believe like how big everything was and just how nice everybody, like it's like night and day from, you know, places that, and in that particular country, they have, I can't remember what it was called, what the term is, but I had to look it up. I had even heard in Namibia. I'm like, where is that? I know it's in sub-Saharan Africa somewhere, but the level of poverty, poverty, unbelievable. But coming here and we're 2-to-1 technology. Our kids have a Chromebook they take home and they have one at school and all the technology in our classrooms and the support and our resources and just, you know, and just a great place to be. And the teachers.
Yeah. That's the thing that people don't, that people don't see. People don't realize how much we have in this country that other countries just don't have.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know that because, you know, we are, it's something that we have. We haven't ever had to be without, you know, and this generation has never truly seen war, you know. I mean, I remember as a child, you and I, well, it sounds like we're not too far apart in age. I remember Korea and Vietnam and the horrible pictures of these children being hurt on Time magazine's cover, you know, the I don't know if you remember the little Vietnam girl that's like running down the street with this horror and she'd been hurt. And that is one that just has been etched into my memory. And you just go, you don't realize how, because wars have taken on such a different perspective and they look so differently. But hopefully through this tragedy that we will have, we will see revival and people coming together and loving each other again, right?
Yes.
That's what we want.
For the parents who might hear is, look, I might have a doctorate degree, but I was a poor child growing up in Detroit, raised by a single parent who raised three boys. And the opportunities I've had in this country, for a kid like me to end up with all of the opportunities, you know, just through hard work and, you know, perseverance, maybe a little bit of luck here and there. And my brothers as well. I have another one who's a school administrator and one who works for, it's called, I think, DTE, Detroit Edison.
Power.
Electricity and, all of that kind of amazing opportunities that we've all had. And, you know, irregardless of, you know, where folks are, you know, their income or what side of the river they live on or, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, the opportunities are endless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really try and.
Yeah. And it shows.
I try and just kind of keep them encouraged and inspire them to see there's so much out there. you know.
Yeah. And you're not sitting on some high pedestal going, you know, you can do it without having lived it. You know, yeah. I love that too. You're down, you've been there. And I mean, I was raised middle class, you know, I wasn't rich, but it's a fight. It's a fight as a woman sometimes to have a business and to be an entrepreneur and different kinds of opportunities. But, you know, the opportunities are there. You have to grab them. You have to.
Absolutely.
And you can't let anybody tell you no. You just say, okay, you're not the right one. Onward. Let's go. Let's find the one that there's for every 10 no's, there's somebody that's going to say yes, because there's value. Yeah. You have value. And that is a voice that we have to continue. And wow, we went 34 minutes already. So we need to wrap this up. I want you to plug your book one more time.
The book will be coming out. It's probably going to be a couple of months. And that book is called Transforming Urban Schools for Educational Excellence, A Guide to Moving from Vision to Victory. Folks can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram. I'm working on developing a website. Also at www.sbsd.net is our district website. They can look me up there and see my email and reach out. I'm willing to support and share any ideas. Or bounce ideas off of individuals. So those are a few ways that I could be reached.
Do you know that I have heard that from almost every single person I've spoke to, every single educator, every single administrator? You guys are such an amazing group of people that want to share the knowledge and the successes with others. And I am so impressed by that, because it's so true. You know, just you're trying, if you're out there and you're trying to do it and you're trying to figure it out, there are so many administrators out there, so many people, everybody's so busy. But I know that there are people that are willing to help just like you. And I appreciate that so much.
Absolutely.
So thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because like the title says, we are brighter together.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you so much.